All right, this morning, if you'll take your Bibles, turn to two passages of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and 1 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 3, 1 Peter chapter number 2. Have you ever known someone who maybe they were up in age? I'm talking about they were growing older, but they never grew up. Yeah, they try to act like a teenager. It's kind of sickening, isn't it? It's kind of sad and silly, really. I don't know of anything's more pathetic than seeing a person who's supposed to be a mature adult trying to act like a teenager. And you want to say, just grow up, right? Just grow up. One of the most important truths of Scripture is that we who are believers are to mature and to grow spiritually. Can I tell you, when God sees a child of God who has been saved for a number of years, still dealing with the same issues that he dealt with when he first got saved, he's just wanting to say, grow up. Wanting to say, grow up. You know, as we grow and mature spiritually, our lives will be changed. We'll begin to live more satisfying lives. Understand, God's not just in the saving business. I'm glad He is, amen, because we were all in need. We all needed to be saved from our sin. But God's in more than just the saving business. He's in the life-changing business, amen. He wants to bring forth in your life and my life, life change. There are many believers that come to Christ, but they don't seem to understand this vital part of God's will for their lives. And I want us to look seriously at this matter of growing in Jesus Christ and what it should mean and can mean to each of us. As we look at God's purpose for your life. Do you know what God's purpose for your life is? Well, I can tell you one of God's purposes for you is spiritual growth. It's spiritual growth. And that's what we're going to deal with. Look at 1 Peter. We'll take 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what he says in verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. I mean, those are some terrible things to have in your life, aren't they? Can they be in the life of a Christian? They can be. But you should lay those things aside. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Look at 2 Peter, chapter number 3, the very last verse of 2 Peter. Chapter 3, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, I believe when he says to Him be glory both now and forever, he's talking about in your life and in my life. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that God can get the glory in your life. Amen. Now, first of all, this morning, I want us to deal with some misconceptions regarding spiritual growth. Can I tell you that spiritual growth is not automatic? It's not automatic. We know that people are saved by God's grace and mercy when they come to see themselves as lost sinners. They repent of their sin, and then they trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. When that happens, salvation is instantaneous. It's a sudden event. It happens only once, and it's unchangeable. Aren't you glad? Saved forever. And you can have that assurance in your heart that you're a child of God, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven. What a great and glorious blessing. Now, we know that it may take time for a person to come to an understanding of the gospel and believe it. You know, some folks they hear the gospel, and they'll trust the Lord and believe on the Lord and you're saved. But some people, it takes more than one time sharing the gospel with them for it to get through. But at the very moment the gospel is accepted, whenever that may be, when it's believed on, the fact of that person's salvation and their position in Christ is established forever. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When you got saved, when you got born again, you became a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The moment we place our faith and trust in Christ, the moment we believed on the Lord for salvation, we were in Him. Amen. We were placed in Christ. And we received at that moment all the spiritual blessings and all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look at 2 Peter 1. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I know we were in 1 Peter 2 a while ago, but we were in 2 Peter 1. I want you to look at verse number 3. I want you to grab a hold of this concept here. Look at verse number 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And the more you have the knowledge of God in your life, the more you have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. We're not just talking about facts about them. We're talking about knowing them. Okay? That grace and that peace in your life is multiplied. You have an increase of grace. You have an increase of peace in your life. It's multiplied in your life through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power, notice this, hath given unto us, underline that, those next two words, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Listen, folks, the time we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Colossians 2, verse number 10 says, ye are complete in Him, speaking of Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in that we are fully a child of God. Amen? When a child is born, they're a child, right? They're a potential adult. They have the potential of growing up into adulthood. They're a baby. They're born a baby. But they have the potential for growth, don't they? But we are complete. That child that is born into this world is fully equipped. We're talking about a good birth, okay? We're talking about somebody not born with problems. We know that because of sin, sometimes births in this life don't go according to what we'd like to see them. We had a granddaughter, and because this is sinful flesh, it's not because of any personal sin, but sinful flesh. But we had the granddaughter was born with a problem with her diaphragm, and the very time that we came here to serve at this church, and she had to have surgery at 4 days old. And God blessed us tremendously, and that she no longer has any issues with that. She's vibrant. A little 7-year-old. Amen. What a blessing that is. But we're talking about, if you take sin out of the equation, that causes the problems, the disease and the difficulties that we have facing this life, we're talking about just a normal birth. A child that's born is born fully equipped to grow into adulthood. Amen. I mean, they're just a little person, aren't they? And they just need to grow up into an adulthood. Now, we are complete in that we are fully a child of God, which means we are fully equipped to accomplish all that God has for us in our lives. There is no second blessing, as some would erroneously teach. There is only one gospel, and that's the full gospel. Amen. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. He arose again the third day according to Scripture. That's the gospel. That's it. Don't let anybody tell you that's not the full gospel, because that is the full gospel. Now, what this means is that we as believers receive the Spirit of God, which enables us to live a godly life that is pleasing to God and to grow spiritually. When you got born again by the Spirit of God, He gave you everything to be able to grow up into Him and to spiritual adulthood. Okay? You have the potential. When a baby is born, it cannot talk, cannot walk, cannot work. Yet, if the child is normal, it has everything necessary to grow into a mature adult. However, it's got to be taught, and it must learn. Amen. You got to have somebody teaching. You got to have somebody. That little baby's got to learn. Learn to walk, learn to talk, learn to grow into an adult. There were a group of tourists who were visiting a town on a tour, and they came across an old man. And one of the tourists asked the old man if any great men were born in this small town. He said, "No, only babies." Great men are not born, are they? No. You grow up into that greatness if you're going to grow into it. Same is true in the Christian life. There are no great Christians who are great at the time they're born. They're just babes in Christ. As babes, we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow. We all came into our physical life the same way. Amen. We were born into this life. And we all come into our spiritual life the same way. And we're born again by the Spirit of God. When we began our physical life, we began it learning. Amen. I remember our grandchildren just being mesmerized at things in the world. When they came out of the womb, they were just learning, looking and taking it all in and listening and watching and imitating, right? That's the way a baby does. It learns through looking, putting things in its mouth. It likes to grab a hold of anything, put it in its mouth. But they begin learning. Well, the same is true in our spiritual life. When we began our spiritual life, we began learning. And the very essence of life is about growing and maturing, whether that life be our physical lives or our spiritual lives. Now, from the first time that a source of milk is placed in a baby's mouth, it learns that it's good and begins to drink it. In fact, it craves it. And it'll let you know it craves it every now and then, right? It'll be crying. I'm hungry. Want some of that milk? Understand, though, that growth is not automatic. It takes effort on the part of those who mature and doing the teaching, as well as effort on the part of those who are maturing. Now, spiritual growth is not automatic. Second thing, spiritual growth does not gauge God's love for us. God's love is not dependent on our spirituality. God loves you this morning. He does. He loved us before we were born again. He proved that love on the cross of Calvary when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were yet sinners. Well, if He loved you when you were a sinner, how much more does He love you now that you're a child of God? He loves you. Don't ever doubt the love of God for you. Yet, to experience God's blessings in our daily lives, we must be in His will, filled with His Holy Spirit, and living obedient lives to His established principles. God's love means that He will always do what's best for us. Isn't that a great and wonderful truth? God has always got our best interest at heart. No matter what comes your way, it comes to you God-filtered, and God has a purpose for it being in your life, and God wants to use that in your life. And God's love means that He will always do what's best for us, and it means that He will not bless those who are disobedient or unfaithful to the biblical principles of life. If you choose to live your life apart from the principles that are laid down in Scripture, you're going to suffer the consequences of that. Yeah, there are going to be consequences, and the Bible speaks of chastisement. When I was growing up in the family of the Throwers, my dad, David Thrower, he was bringing us up in the way that he wanted us to go. And if you were growing up in the way that he wanted you to go, things went well. You were blessed. Daddy's happy. I'm happy, right? But man, when you didn't make Daddy happy, there was chastisement involved, wasn't there? God gives us a picture through our physical families and understand, I know some in here, you might have been physically abused as a child. I'm not talking about physical abuse, okay? I'm talking about good, biblical chastisement is required. The Bible speaks of it. Children need it. You know they need it. And if you don't give it to them, you are hurting them. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about discipline. We're talking about that which is in accordance with the Word of God. But just as a child needs discipline in his physical life, we need discipline in our spiritual lives. When we choose to live our lives disobedient or unfaithful to our Father's principles. A third thing here, not only is spiritual growth not automatic, and spiritual growth does not gauge God's love for us, third truth is spiritual growth is not dependent on long periods of time. Okay? There are many believers who have been saved a long time, and yet they have grown very little. Will you agree with me? Okay? On the other hand, there are some who have been saved who, in only a short time, they seem to grow rapidly. I've seen those. Now, if two people are both equally dedicated and faithful to the Lord, then it stands to reason that the one who has been maturing longer is going to be more spiritually mature. But length of time saved is not the most important factor in the amount of spiritual growth. I've seen people saved, and within a year, they were able to do some great things for God because they had such a hunger for the Word of God. They were learning, they were ever learning, they were growing, and you didn't have a problem placing some responsibility in their lives. On the other hand, I've seen folks saved who, after years, have failed to grow, and consequently, they understand very little, and they're not able to be used very effectively for God. Yeah, it's sad. But it's not dependent on long periods of time. A fourth truth is this: being spiritually mature is not a matter of how much we know. It's not how much you know. What matters is what you do with what you know. Okay? And I've mentioned this quite frequently. Our desire in coming to church ought not to be just to learn the Word. It ought to be to put it into practice. But be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Because when you're a hearer and not a doer, what does the Bible say? James said you deceive your own selves. You just deceive your own self when you do that. Now, what matters is what we do with what we know. And 1 Corinthians 8:1, Paul said that knowledge puffeth up. Paul warned the Corinthians that knowledge can puff one up. And he's talking about pride there. Having a knowledge of things presented in the Bible is important for the believer, but it cannot be equated with spiritual maturity. I've seen folks who had a lot of knowledge about the facts in the Bible that were even lost. I went to a door in Brunswick, Georgia. Me and who was the fellow at the time was an associate pastor there of Sterling Baptist Church, the church I grew up in. We were out knocking doors, and we knocked on the door, and this person wanted to get us into a conversation on the Book of Revelation. We had great knowledge about the facts of what's in the Book of Revelation, but wound up, he was lost as a goose. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Having knowledge of things presented in the Bible is important for the believer, but it cannot be equated with spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth is determined by what we do with what we have come to know from God's Word. Okay, a fifth thing here. Spiritual growth is not just a matter of being active in church. You know, there are some folks who are active in church, and certainly spiritually mature believers will be active in their local church. Amen. That's right. If you're spiritually mature, you will be active in your local church and you'll be serving the Lord. Yet, one can be very busy doing things in the church and all the while not be growing spiritually. In fact, some think that if they're busy enough, then they're spiritual. But that's not necessarily true. In fact, it's even possible to be active and not even be saved. It's true. Listen to Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, were they busy? Yeah, they were busy. but they were lost. They didn't know the Lord. Being busy and doing a lot in the church doesn't even qualify one for salvation, let alone spiritual maturity. Before the Apostle Paul was saved, think about it. He had a lot of Bible knowledge. He did. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most noted teachers of the law in that day. Yet he didn't have wisdom because he was lost. He didn't have a proper application of the knowledge, did he? Till he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, all that knowledge that he had, boom, then it made sense. Then it became useful in his life. But up to that point, it was just a hindrance to him, really. Because he thought, hey, you know, I'm somebody because I know the law. You know, I know what the Bible says. You know, I'm a Pharisee. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. He thought he was somebody. He said, but I counted all those things but loss. Counted but dung that I might win Christ. That's what he said in Philippians chapter number 3. Amen. Now, spiritual growth has nothing to do with prosperity either. Some folks may think that material possessions are an indication of spiritual maturity or special favor with God, especially these charlatans that are on TV. You know, so, you know, God wants you to be rich, and God wants you to have this, and God wants you to have that. Listen, you know, that's not true. God, don't think that because you're well off or financially secure that this means God approves of how you're living your life or how you're growing spiritually. No indication at all. The other side is true, too. Being poor or having very little does not necessarily mean that God disapproves of your spiritual condition or your spiritual progress. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Now that we've dealt with the misconceptions, what then is spiritual maturity? If spiritual maturity is not just a matter of our position in Christ, or a matter of God's love for us, or a matter of time, or a matter of knowledge of the Bible, or a matter of how active we are, or a matter of how rich or how poor we are, then what in the world is spiritual maturity? And by the way, it's not some mystical, sentimental, devotional, or psychological thing either. Okay? I want you to get this. We could say, and this is simple terms, spiritual growth is matching my practice with my position. That's what it is. When you were born again into God's family, positionally speaking, you're in Christ. Amen. God looks on you just like he looks, just as if you were Christ himself. He sees his son. He sees what Jesus did. He no longer looks at the old sinful you. He looks at you and he sees his son. Matching my practice with my position. If you're saved, child of God, you're complete in Christ, the Bible says. That means you have everything you need to live for the Lord. But you have everything you need to live a full and satisfying, abundant life. If you choose to do so, you can live a life that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You can. Spiritual maturity is not just being able to put into practice the principles of God's Word. It's not what it's all about. Because if we're saved, we are able, in fact, we are enabled to do so by the God of all grace. So spiritual maturity is not about just being able, because the ability is there when you got saved. It's a matter of commitment. Do you want to grow in Christ? Okay. If you don't have a desire to grow in Christ, guess what? You're not going to grow. If you're just satisfied where you're at in Christian life, well, I just like me the way I am. Well, you're going to be the way you are, and nobody's going to be able to help you get to where you need to be. You're going to live a sad, miserable Christian life. You're not going to enjoy the abundant life because you don't desire it. You don't have commitment to it. It's a matter of commitment. It's a matter of dedication. It's a matter of willing ourselves to do as God wants. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting Almighty God and letting Him direct our lives and obediently doing what he says. Look at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse number 6. And if you don't have this highlighted in your scriptures, you ought to highlight it. You ought to underline it. You ought to whatever. So it'll be you'll remember this every time you see it. Okay? Because it's an important truth. Colossians 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Okay. Now let's think about this. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By grace through faith, right? By grace through faith. How are you to walk in Him? The same way. It's by grace through faith. Okay? It's God's grace working in your life and your faith in Him to do that work. Amen? Look at verse 7, what he says. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in Him. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of grace. Now, a third question. Why should I grow spiritually? In other words, what's so important about that? Well, first of all, it's a matter of being in harmony with God's plan. A matter of being in harmony with God's plan. God created us. He made us just like any builder. He had a purpose for what He built. Right? You take somebody that builds anything. They've got a purpose in why they build what they build. Suppose I took a Ferrari. It costs well over $250,000. And used it as a farm vehicle on a dirt road. You say, that's not very bright. It's not very intelligent. It'd be crazy. Well, suppose I bought a John Deere tractor and I used it like the family car. That wouldn't be very bright either, would it? Because a John Deere tractor, that's not what it was made for. In each of those cases, we would say that both the Ferrari and the John Deere tractor were misused and not used as they were designed to be used. Am I right? Now, understand, you could take the family to the town on the John Deere tractor, but wouldn't it be much better if you took them in an automobile that has four doors, an air-conditioned heater, and comfortable seats with plenty of room, got an engine and transmission that's made to do the job? It just makes sense. Wouldn't we call it abuse for somebody to take a car designed to race and use it like a farm truck? Its use would not be in harmony with the plan of the designer. Can I tell you that you growing into spiritual maturity has to do with being in harmony with God's plan for your life? God has a plan for your life, and it's for you to grow into spiritual adulthood for His honor, for His glory, that others can see Jesus through you. Plain and simple. God created us and He designed us to bring glory to Himself. That's what 2 Peter 3:18 says. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's what we were created to do. To bring glory to God. The problem with the world and with many believers as well is that they don't know who they are, why they were created. They don't know. The lost world surely doesn't know. You know, the whole problem with man gets back to the Garden of Eden, right? Genesis chapter number 3. Ever since Genesis chapter number 3, man got out of fellowship with God, got out of, you know, the man died spiritually. He basically threw away God's purpose in his life. Man lived in rebellion against God. Can I tell you the problem with people today is they're living their lives in rebellion against God? They obviously don't bring glory to God in their lives. I mean, you take the average person, especially those that are lost, all of them, none of them bring any glory to God. They're living rebellion against God. They don't bring glory to God in their lives. But can I tell you, some Christians, if they're living their lives in rebellion against God's principles for their life, they're not bringing any glory to God in their lives either. In fact, they're ruining themselves and abusing themselves because they're not doing what they originally designed to do. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. God intended you to live your life according to His plan for His glory. And if you're not doing that, you're abusing your purpose. You're not living it the way the one that created you desired for you to live it. Can I tell you that many believers fall into that trap? They've trusted Christ for salvation, but then for some reason they continue trying to live their lives that are not in harmony with the designer's plan. And the result is their lives are destructive, they are unfulfilling, and they are miserable. They can even have an ill effect upon those around them who are trying to live their lives righteously and godly. You know, you can bring others down to your level. You can. They're like that expensive, fine-tuned race car running down a dusty, rocky, bumpy road, bearing heavy loads they weren't designed to carry. God created us to bring glory to Him, and when we don't, we are out of place and cause problems for ourselves and for others. Now, to bring glory to God, we must live as God has designed us to live. You know, it brings great honor to the John Deere Company when one of their tractors is out in the fields and is hauling and plowing and breaking and tilling the land, the job that it's desired to do. Our daughter this past week was back up where we pastored up in Indiana, and she got a chance to ride in a combine. Yeah, they were out. Now, this is the time of the year when they're reaping the corn harvest. And she got to, she was up there seeing one of her friends, and her friend, the friend's dad is a big farmer up there. He's got a lot of land, they grow a lot of corn. And she got a chance to get in one of those combines and ride it. Well, you know, that combine glorifies whoever made it because it accomplishes the purpose that it was made for. There's great satisfaction to seeing a piece of equipment running smoothly and doing what it's made to do. Now, for the believer who is living apart from the Lord, whose growth has been stunted, who is living in disobedience to God, who is being unfaithful, could I tell you it brings shame to the God who made them? And if they don't rectify the situation, could I tell you it's not going to be good? The longer they are living apart from the designer's purpose for their lives, the more it will have an adverse effect on them and for those that are living around them. Okay? You can't help but affect people that are around you, whether it be your family or your friends. God has given each of us a will. We're not robots. We are made in the very image of God Himself. We have every one of us this morning, we got intellect, we got emotions, we got a will. The Ferrari that's used on a farm has no choice but to do what its operator forces it to do. Because I tell you this morning, you have a choice. God will not force us to do right. We can choose to do wrong. It is up to us. The question is this morning, do you want to do right? Do you want to do right? If you want to do right, then determine in your heart and in your life that you're going to do it. Okay? And then live your life by faith. And understand it's accomplished by grace through faith that we read in Colossians 2 a while ago. Because believers are complete in Christ. That means that they have all that is needed to live as they should. But they must choose to do it or will to do it. You've got to exercise your will. Our love for sin is usually the problem. We have a sinful nature that has bent. It's got a bent to sin, doesn't it? It has a bent to do that which is wrong. But that's not an excuse. If we want to avoid sin and wrong living, we can. We can We can do that because we've been given a new nature. In fact, we've been given the very nature of God that gives us the power to do all that which is right. But listen, if you haven't trusted Christ, you can't do right no matter how hard you try. No matter how hard you try. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, why don't you do that today? Why don't you come to Him? What is it that keeps you from believing on Him? Putting your trust in the One who died for you and rose again that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't you think that it's time to begin a new life right now? I'm talking about the life that God created you to live. When God originally created Adam and Eve, He didn't create them to sin. Okay? And when God allowed you to be born into this world, He didn't allow you to be born for you to just live in your sin. He gave you a purpose through Jesus Christ. His Son came to this world. He gave His life. He made it possible for you to have all that you need in order to live out God's purpose for your life. And it begins with salvation. Don't you think it's about time to begin a new life right now? I'm talking about the life that God created you to live. Growing in Christ and growing spiritually is first a matter of getting new life from Him. And then exercising your will by His grace to do as He commands. Spiritual growth is a matter of matching our practice with our position in Christ. If you are a child of God this morning, you can choose to live a wonderful life of fulfilling God's purpose in your life. That is, you can if you want to. You can if you are committed and simply make the effort to do it with the Lord's help. Now, you need the Lord's help, but His help is there. It was there the day you got saved. Amen? You've had the Lord's help all along. You just haven't accessed. If you're not where God wants you to be spiritually at this point in your life, you know the reason why you're not there? Go look in the mirror. You're the one hindering you. God's not hindering you. He's given all that you need to be where He wants you to be. Just do it. Determine to do it today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray today that You might take this message and use it in the hearts and lives of those that are here today. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know You as their Savior, I pray that You would give them the courage to step out, come down this aisle, meet me down front so that we can get them some help. So that they can come to a saving knowledge of You. And they can begin to have all that they need to live Your purpose out in their lives. Lord, for those of us that are Christians here today, it's mainly been to us. We have what we need. The question is, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? And Lord, if there's somebody here that's not doing what You intended for them to do with what they have, help them to see that fallacy. Help them to see that foolishness. Help them to see they are the ones holding back being all that they can be for You. Because You've given them exactly what they need. They're complete in You. It's available by grace. All they got to do is believe and start putting these things into place in their lives. It comes just like salvation. Salvation was by grace through faith. The Christian walk and the growth comes by grace through faith. Help them with this matter of growth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.
Page 333.
If you need some help this morning, come get it. Okay, we're down front. We're not here to embarrass anybody. We're here to help. So if you need some help today, why don't you come? Altars are open. Down here for use, if you need to use them.